Welcome to a special live edition of Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight, through the facilities of KRTM Radio and CSN International, we are coming to you from our studios in Bend, Oregon. For the next 2 hours, Dave and Tom will discuss What About Mary? A biblical examination of the apparitions of the Virgin Mary and other supernatural activity in our times. They will be joined in the second hour by Jim Tetlow, producer of the video Messages from Heaven. And now, along with Dave Hunt, here's Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a program in which we encourage everyone who desires to know God's truth to look to God's Word for all that is essential for salvation and living one's life in a way that is pleasing to Him. Our topic for this special 2-hour program is the Virgin Mary, clearly the most revered woman in religion today. 1 billion Catholics honor her first among all created beings. More than 1 billion Muslims honor her above all other women. And her stock is certainly rising in many Protestant denominations. So, what do you, our listeners, think about the Virgin Mary? And what is the basis for your views? In other words, why do you believe what you do about Mary? Now, as Gary mentioned, unlike our regular weekly program, which is taped, now you have an opportunity to interact on this subject with Dave and me, and a little later with our guest, Jim Tetlow, the producer of Messages from Heaven, a video documentary which tracks much of what's taking place today regarding the apparitions of Mary. Dave, I'd like to read some of the official teachings about Mary from the Roman Catholic Church. And, of course, the Church of Rome teaches more about Mary than any other religious organization, and most of its teachings are dogma, which must be believed by every member of its church. But before I get into that, Dave, you and I know the subject of the Virgin Mary is a really an emotionally charged subject for many people. So why is a subject like this worth risking offending some of our listeners?
Well, first of all, the Bible has a great deal to say about not just the Virgin Mary, but her Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who claims that He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him, whereas the Church of Rome says, well, Jesus is He's the door, He's the way to the Father, but we have to go through Mary to get to Jesus. The Catholic Church, there are many prayers looking to Mary for salvation. The problem is, we can discuss it this evening. Is it possible that Mary could be given such a position in the Catholic Church, and popularly in the minds of many Catholics, mm-hmm. that Jesus becomes downplayed and people could be turned into some serious error that could affect their eternal destiny? Is it biblical? This is really a serious question.
Mm-hmm. Dave, as I said earlier, of all the religious organizations which address the subject of Mary, certainly the Roman Catholic Church has the most to say. And it's been developing its dogmas, rituals, liturgies related to Mary for at least 1,500 years or more.
Tom, before we get any further into this, we should say that we believe, as the Bible says, Mary is highly favored among women. She was a wonderful woman, mm-hmm. Chosen by God to be the mother of our Lord. And we're not putting Mary down at all. Mm-hmm. We want to defend the biblical Mary as opposed to a Mary that has been conjured up. And really, the ideas that do a disservice to the biblical mm-hmm. Mary, to the true Mary who mm-hmm. now is in heaven.
Yeah. Dave, and there are lots of ideas about Mary out there. The second hour, we're going to really be focusing in on the apparitions and so on. But I think we have to begin with official mm-hmm. documents. I was a Roman Catholic for about 30 years. I grew up in the church, obviously. And I had some ideas, and I don't think all of them were true to what the church taught. So I think there's probably some confusion out there among Roman mm-hmm. Catholics about really what their church teaches. And I know for a fact that many evangelicals don't understand the official position. Now, official position, does that mean what Dave Hunt has to say or T.A. McMahon? No. I'm going to go to...
Or what some priest has to say, right, or some theologian at Notre Dame? No.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And that is supported by many, many other official documents, which we may get into, from the Council of Trent to Vatican II and so on. But I just want to stay with
This is the universal catechism.
Right. Now, I assume a few people, particularly evangelicals that are listening, they're going to say, well, is this really true to what he's saying? Now, if you have a computer, you can go to our website, thebereancall.org, and you can click on, we have a logo there of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So all the references that I'm going to be giving, you can follow me word by word if you can listen to the radio and do two things at once. So it's available. Again, it's thebereancall.org, and you just click on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you'll get to the pages that I'll be quoting from. Let's begin with this. These are basic teachings, again, from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Number one, Mary is the Mother of God. Mary was conceived without sin. Mary lived a sinless life. Mary was a virgin before, through, and after the conception and birth of Jesus and throughout her life. Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. Let's begin with Mary is the Mother of God. And this is perhaps the one Catholic belief about Mary that, as we'll see, is foundational to all others, again, that she is the Mother of God. And this is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And if you've never been to a catechism before, the index is sort of on the basis of paragraphs, and they're numbered. So as you'll see if you go to our website, paragraph 495 says, "The one whom Mary conceived as man by the Holy Spirit, who truly became her son according to the flesh, was none other than the Father's eternal Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Hence the Church confesses that Mary is truly Mother of God." And I guess in the Greek, it's Theotokos.
Mm-hmm.
Paragraph 509, "Mary is truly Mother of God, since she is the mother of the eternal Son of God, made man, who is God himself."
Well, Tom, first of all, the Bible never says that. That phrase, Mother of God, is not used in the Bible. Logically, how can anyone be the Mother of God, since God exists eternally from eternity past? God was around a long time before Mary was. Now, the one who was born in Bethlehem, we read in Micah 5:2, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the princes of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth, who shall be ruler over my people Israel." And it says, "whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Jesus is the I Am. He is one with the Father. He is God. And the Catholic Church would acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
Then how can Mary possibly be the Mother of God, since he existed from all eternity? She is certainly not the mother of Jesus as God. Now, she is the mother of the human body that Jesus took when he became man. Therefore, she is the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But she certainly did not conceive God in her womb, God who existed from eternity past. And why must this be stated of her? It's in order to give her some status, a special status, mm-hmm. above everyone else, above all the so-called saints. And there are more prayers to Mary, probably 1,000 times as many, than to God the Father and Jesus combined.
Dave, one of the verses that they look to for support here is this Luke chapter 1, verse 43, where we are dealing with Elizabeth here, and she says, "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?"
Mm-hmm. Well, he's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and she's the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, but she's not the mother of God. I don't think anybody could dispute that. God exists from eternity past. How can Mary be the mother of God? Mary is a creature of God. Mm-hmm. Therefore, she can't be the mother of God. Jesus is God. That's true. But he's God and man in one person.
Yeah.
And Jesus says in the Scriptures, "A body hast thou prepared me." This is a quotation from the Psalms. And Mary is indeed the mother of the body that Jesus took when, as John says in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And then it goes on and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mary is the vehicle through which the eternal Word of God, the Son of God, became flesh. We don't dispute that, but to call her the Mother of God, no, that's impossible.
Dave, and I think our listeners will see, as we go through all of these basic dogmas about Mary, that really is foundational. Many reasons for why she had to do this or that, why she had to be this way or that way, are really come back to that teaching. But the second teaching, which is very important, is the Immaculate Conception. Now, this belief, well, I'll go right to paragraph 491 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Through the centuries, the Church has become ever more aware that Mary, full of grace through God, was redeemed from the moment of her conception. This is what the dogma of the Immaculate Conception confesses. Again, I'm quoting from the Catechism. As Pope Pius IX proclaimed in 1854, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. Paragraph 508 says, full of grace, Mary is the most excellent fruit of redemption. From the first instant of her conception, she was totally preserved from the stain of original sin.
Well, Tom, that's what Pope Pius IX declared as a dogma. But the Bible doesn't say that. Now, one reason why the Catholic Church felt that they had to come up with this idea was, how could a sinner be the mother of the sinless Savior?
Right.
Now, we have...
How could the Mother of God? I'm going to keep coming
right,
back.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, otherwise, then Jesus, if Mary were a sinner, then presumably Jesus would partake of sin as well. Well, now we have a regression ad absurdum, because if, in order to be the mother of God, she had to be sinless, she had to have an immaculate conception, then her parents would have had to have an immaculate conception in order to be the mother and father of a sinless woman. And likewise, their parents and their parents and their parents and so forth. Furthermore, it minimizes the mystery of the incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Mary said, I rejoice in God my Savior. That's in the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1. Only sinners need a Savior. The Scripture clearly says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When a young man ran up to Jesus and said, good master, Jesus said, wait a minute, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, he was not denying that he's God. He was asserting that he is God because he is good. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? He was without sin. He is God. To be without sin, you must be God. That is what Jesus clearly said. Now we've got Mary, not only the mother of God, she must be God as well. And in fact, these attributes, although the Catholic would deny that, mm-hmm. they look to Mary for salvation. They look to Mary for protection. The Pope prays and says, Mary, into your hands I place all mankind, watch over them, protect them, guide them in the path. This is from the Holy Father's prayer for the Marian year. It simply is not, it's not biblical, Tom.
They want
it's
to
not
quote,
true.
Mm-hmm, I want to quote Pope Pius IX. He wrote, we declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instant of her conception, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. You know, growing up Roman Catholic, I look back on that, and, you know, I was a pretty devout Catholic, but I was also kind of a cafeteria Catholic. I said, well, I believe that, but I don't really buy that, and I'm not really into this. All of these dogmas that I'm reading, you must believe as a faithful Catholic. If you don't believe them, it's a mortal sin.
See, we have a problem, Tom. Revealed by God. Revealed by God to Pope Pius IX. Now, he makes that claim.
Mm-hmm.
However, God does not reveal something that contradicts Scripture. And Scripture very clearly says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just quoted where Jesus said, there's none good but one. That's God. Every human being is a sinner. Now, to come up with a revelation then that says, yeah, every human being except Mary. All have sinned except Mary. That contradicts the Bible. It's not necessary. It's an attempt to elevate Mary to a position. I don't want to spend time on it, but here I am speaking in France. My wife Ruth and I go into a cathedral. There's a beautiful stained glass window from the 12th century. It depicts purgatory. It says Le Purgatoire in French. Mary and Jesus are on a cloud in heaven above. Down below, in the flames of hell, this is depicted on the stained glass, are the poor souls in purgatory with their arms extended, and they're crying out. To whom are they crying out? Not to Jesus. They're crying out to Mary. Mère Marie, sauvez-nous. Mother Mary, save us. Why are they crying out to Mary? This is in heaven now. She is wearing the crown. She's queen of heaven. She's queen of the universe. Jesus in heaven is a child about 4 or 5 years old between Mary's knees. That is not biblical. Jesus was a mature man in his 30s when he died on the cross. He's in a resurrected, glorified body. He is the Lord of life and glory. But Mary has, in fact, been elevated above Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm. Dave, again, when we start out with an error or trying to put more into the idea of Mary than the Bible and truth warrants, all right, we're going to run into trouble. This next teaching, Mary lived a sinless life. I'm quoting from paragraph 493. The fathers of the Eastern tradition call the Mother of God the All-Holy and celebrate her as free from any stain of sin, as though fashioned by the Holy Spirit and formed as a new creature. By the grace of God, Mary remained free from every personal sin her whole life long. Paragraph 508. And she remained pure from all personal sin throughout her life. And we feel that the earlier teachings were unreasonable, but you see how these are building and developing.
It does build and develop. Well, I just quote Jesus again. There is none good but one, and that is God. There is none without sin except God. And all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. John, the beloved disciple, who leaned on Jesus, you know, in intimacy at the Last Supper, and to whom Christ said at the foot of the cross, he said, Mary, this is going to be your mother. You take care of her, John, as your mother. John writes in his first epistle, chapter 1, and he says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And Mary would never have said she had not sinned. This is a dogma pronounced 1,800 years later in order to elevate Mary to a position that she would never take, that the Bible does not give her, but because the Catholic Church can use this for its benefit.
Right. They're going to quote from St. Augustine. St. Augustine teaches that every personal sin must be excluded from the Blessed Virgin Mary for the sake of the honor of God. Now, we're going through some of the basic dogmas of the Roman Catholic Church with regard to Mary, and we're coming to the virgin birth. Now, if you want, as I said, if you want to check us out, check out what I'm reading, you can go to our website. Gary gave you the website address, thebereancall.org, and you can click on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can get to the page that and the paragraphs that I'm reading, and you can follow along. Dave, this issue. Mary was a virgin before, through, and after the conception and birth of Jesus and throughout her life. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, the belief in her being the Mother of God and therefore sinless really contributes to all of these dogmas that we've been going over. But paragraph 499 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The deepening of faith in the virginal motherhood led the Church to confess Mary's real and perpetual virginity, even in the act of giving birth to the Son of God made man. In fact, Christ's birth did not diminish his mother's virginal integrity, but sanctified it. And so the liturgy of the Church celebrates Mary as the ever virgin. Paragraph 510. Mary remained a virgin in conceiving her son, a virgin in giving birth to him, a virgin in carrying him, a virgin in nursing him at her breast, always a virgin. And, of course, that's St. Augustine, quoted in the Catholic Catechism. One last paragraph, 500. Against this doctrine, the objection is sometimes raised that the Bible mentions brothers and sisters of Jesus. The Church has always understood these passages as not referring to other children of the Virgin Mary. In fact, James and Joseph, brothers of Jesus, are the sons of another Mary, a disciple of Christ, whom St. Matthew significantly calls the other Mary. They are close relations of Jesus.
Well, Tom, a virgin is one who has not had sex with a man, and that was the case of Mary. They were espoused, Joseph and Mary. We read in Matthew chapter 1, he knows that she's going to have a child now. And this is troubling to Joseph. And he is going to just break this off and put her away privately. He doesn't want to make a public spectacle of Mary. He loves her. And it says this, verse 20 of chapter 1, Matthew. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not. That means he did not have any sex with her, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That's pretty clear language. This is what the Scripture says. Now, this other dogma is something that the Catholic Church has conceived of. Again, I'm sorry, in order to elevate Mary, and it's giving her a position that the Word of God does not teach. As far as brethren, there is one Hebrew word used for brethren in the entire Old Testament, ach. There is one Greek word used for brethren in the entire New Testament, Adelphus, except for false brethren. There is a Greek word for cousin, sungenis, and it is used in Luke 1:36. It says Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. It is used in Luke 1:58 when it says Elizabeth's neighbors and her cousins heard of her, that she was going to have a child and so forth, and they rejoiced with her. Mm-hmm. There's a perfectly good word for cousin to be used. But the word brethren, the brothers and sisters, is quite clear, and let me just read it again. Joseph knew her not until. If I said I didn't go somewhere until, it means I went after a certain time. I didn't go there until. Joseph knew her not, that is, did not have sex with her, until she had brought forth her, not only son, her firstborn son. The Bible is very clear, and it's not necessary that they elevate Mary to this position. She's a wonderful woman, and we honor her as the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let us not go beyond the Scripture, because then that leads to serious error.
Mm-hmm. Dave, I want to continue with these teachings, but we've got some calls, and I want to break away for a call. We have Doug in Lake Tahoe on line 2.
Hello.
Doug?
Yes.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was listening a few minutes ago, and you were talking about the sinlessness of Jesus and how that, and that's where I'm not sure if I heard you correctly, but when you were talking about Jesus' sinlessness, that's a proof of him being God?
Well, it would have to be, because Jesus himself said, you know, remember, the young man runs up and says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is none good but one. That is God. And good would certainly include being sinless, not only good in a positive way, but also without any moral stain whatsoever. He would have to be sinless to be good in the sense that Jesus said, there is none good but one, and that is God.
So Jesus is God.
Of course he is.
Well, if Mary is Jesus' mother and Jesus is God, then why do you have a hard time understanding that Mary is the mother of God?
Because Jesus is God from eternity past.
That's right.
He became a man. She is the mother of Jesus as man when he became man. There is no possible way. You tell me how Mary could be the mother of an eternal being who existed eternity before she was born.
Well, I heard you describe Mary as the mother of Jesus' body.
That's
Do you
right.
describe your son that you're the father of his body, or are you his father?
Jesus has a human body, soul, and spirit. No question about that. But that is not all who Jesus is. And the human body, soul, and spirit of Jesus is not God. Let me just ask you a simple question. Did Jesus exist eternally?
Well, actually, the Word existed eternally.
Yes.
And when he became incarnated in the womb of the Virgin Mother, then he became Jesus, yes.
Okay. So, as God, did not Jesus exist eternally? Go to Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child is the babe born in Bethlehem. Why is there a distinction? Unto us a son is given. This is the eternal son
yes.
that we read of in Psalm 2, for example. Kiss the son, lest he be angry.
Well, let me ask you this.
Let me just finish. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. The Scripture tells us that the babe born in Bethlehem is not only the Son, but is the Father, because in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Now, is Mary also the mother of the Holy Spirit? Is Mary the mother of the Eternal Father?
I think you're making it more complicated than you need to,
Dave. No, I'm not.
And I think you've heard these arguments before, which makes me question your real intent, because Jesus Christ is God and was God, and Mary is his mother. You know, Jesus didn't need to have a mother in order to come to earth, but he chose to. God chose to select a woman to be his mother. And when heretics in the 5th century were confusing this issue and were trying to diminish the role of Jesus, when they were trying to say that Jesus was not God, but he became God, then all of the leaders of the Christian world came together at the Council of Ephesus in 431. You can look this up in any encyclopedia, and I think you already know this, Dave. But they decided at that time that there is no question but that Mary would always be called the Mother of God, because this has to do with Jesus. This has to do with putting Jesus in his proper role as God. That's why we call Mary the Mother of God, because Jesus is God.
All right, let me, you know, we can't go on like this forever, but twice
well,
now,
hey, what really
but listen, twice now, you know, twice now, you have questioned my motivation, and I don't like that. That's not fair. How can you question my motivation? And I'm not saying Jesus became God. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. What they decided at the Council of Ephesus, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Jesus is God from eternity past, and there is no way that a creature who was created by God can be the mother of God.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Well, I think we better move on. Yeah, we could go on forever on this.
Dave, before we get to our next caller, I want to continue on with just a few more of these major dogmas. And you can see from our last caller that this is a critical issue. Jesus, or Mary being the mother of God, he may be understanding it one way, but I can tell you, as a former Roman Catholic, we weren't held to particulars with when somebody told us that. We were thinking, okay, if she's the mother of God, she must have some divine qualities. I would venture to say a survey among Roman Catholics, that's where it ends up. But let's go on to some of the other dogmas, which were, I'm quoting from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Paragraph, this has to do with
by dogma, Tom, you mean these are pronouncements by the official of the official
right.
teaching of the Catholic Church that must be believed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Paragraph 9:64, the union of the mother with the son in the work of salvation is made manifest from the time of Christ's virginal conception up to his death. Thus, the Blessed Virgin advanced in her pilgrimage of faith and faithfully persevered in her union with her son unto the cross. There she stood, in keeping with the divine plan, enduring with her only begotten son the intensity of his suffering, joining herself with his sacrifice in her mother's heart, and lovingly consenting to the immolation of this victim born of her. Co-redemptrix.
Yeah, I have a very serious problem with that, Tom. Again, it's not biblical. Mary did not endure with Christ the pain of our sins. She did not help Christ pay the penalty for our sins. Never, ever does it say that. It says, for example, let's take Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is called our Savior. Never is Mary called our Savior. She rejoiced in her Savior. Christ is her Savior. She is not a co-redemptrix. You know, there's a talk out there, well, is the Pope going to try to get this pushed through? And there are millions of Catholics have signed a petition to have Mary officially declared co-redemptrix. Well, I think the Pope would consider the ecumenical movement. That might really put off some Protestants. This is probably not the time to do that. However, as you know, whether it's official or not, as a practical matter, Mary is accepted as the co-redeemer of the human race.
Dave, absolutely. That was something I just believed growing up. Now, you could say, well, my theology wasn't that great, but I just understood that she participated.
You just read it, Tom.
She participated. Well, let me quote from another document we have here. This is from the Fundamentals of of Catholic Dogma by Ludwig Ott. And this would be a book that, for example, priests might use to get some understanding of how these dogmas developed and so on. He writes, in the power of the grace of the redemption merited by Christ, Mary, by her spiritual entering into the sacrifice of her divine Son for men, made atonement for the sins of men and merited the application of the redemptive grace of Christ. In this manner, she cooperates in the subjective redemption of mankind. One more. This is from Pope Pius XII. Mary offered him on Golgotha to the Eternal Father, together with the holocaust of her maternal rights and her motherly love, like a new Eve for all children of Adam.
It's a very appealing idea, but it's not biblical, and it undercuts the fact that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. He is not co-Savior along with Mary.
Yeah. Dave, we're going to go to the phones. Let's go to line 2. This is Sam in Las Vegas. What's your question?
Yes, sir. I was wondering about, because man was born in sin from Adam, I was wondering how is it that, because Jesus was without sin, how is it that he was exempt being born in a human-type body? If you don't mind, let me hang up and let you answer that, and I'll hear it on the radio.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he is the unique, only begotten Son of God. God is his Father. Mary is his mother. And a body hast thou prepared me. We quoted that from the Psalms and from Hebrews. Jesus is called the second man, the last Adam. As Adam was created fresh by the hand of God from the dust of the ground in the Garden of Eden, he was without sin at that point. So the body of Jesus, a body hast thou prepared me, was created, body, soul, and spirit, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So Jesus is called the second man because there was never a man. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around verse 42. There was never a man who walked this earth who deserved to be called a man as God intended man to be. And Jesus, therefore, is called the second man. All the rest of mankind following Adam had sinned, come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A man was created in the image of God, but that image was marred. And now here comes the second man, created fresh his body, soul, and spirit as a human being, created fresh from the hand of God in the womb of a virgin. He is also called the last Adam. He is the progenitor of a new race of mankind. Those who put their faith in Christ, in his redemptive work upon the cross, are born again of the Spirit of God into the family of God. And this is why Jesus was sinless. He is God and man in one person.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to call and participate, our number is 866-367-5786. That's 866-367-5786. Dave, I want to go back to the co-redemptrix issue for a minute. Now, you know, I'm sure some people are saying out there, well, even though he was a Catholic for that long, what did he really know? You know, he wasn't an official or he wasn't a cleric and so on, wasn't a priest.
Referring to yourself.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Now, let me read you a quote from St. Alphonsus Liguori, who was made a saint and a doctor of the Roman Catholic Church.
Cardinal also.
He writes, "It is enough, O Lady." This is his prayer. "It is enough, O Lady, if you will it. Our salvation is certain. Any soul on whom Mary turns her eyes will necessarily be justified and saved."
See, that's a problem, Tom. That comes from a book called The Glories of Mary, in which St. Alphonsus Liguori, the Cardinal Liguori, quotes the leading saints. Well, that's another problem. Saint? Mm-hmm. The Bible is written to saints. The saints at Ephesus, the saints at Colossae, the saints at Corinth, and so forth. Every human being is, every Christian who is born of the Spirit of God is sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God. But then we have saints. No, you get voted in. You get beatified and so forth, canonized and so forth, and you become a saint. That's not biblical. And nowhere in the Bible are there such saints. Nowhere is there a prayer to them. But the leading saint of all is Mary. And now let me give you some other quotes. I want to quote out of that book. I'm quoting St. Germanus, or he's quoting St. Germanus. Quote, "There is no one, O most holy Mary, who can be saved or redeemed but through thee." St. Bernard, "As we have access to the Eternal Father only through Jesus Christ, so have we access to Jesus Christ only through Mary. By thee we have access to the Son, O blessed finder of grace, bearer of life, and mother of salvation." Now, this is a prayer from the popular booklet. You could go to any Catholic bookstore. It's called Devotions in Honor of Our Mother of Perpetual Help. Let me quote one prayer so you see the position to which Mary has been elevated. Quote, this is a prayer Catholics pray by the millions. "In thy hands I place my eternal salvation, and to thee do I entrust my soul. For if thou protect me, dear mother, I fear nothing, not from my sins, because thou wilt obtain from me the pardon of them." No, Christ obtained the pardon on the cross. "Nor from the devils, because thou art more powerful than all hell together. Nor even from Jesus, my judge himself. I don't fear him, because by one prayer from thee he will be appeased." Tom, I'm sorry. I'm offended for Christ at this. Christ is my advocate. Paul says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, this prayer presents Christ as my adversary. He's my judge. And Mary must appease him somehow, or he will damn me. This is not biblical, but you see what it leads to. By all of this unbiblical elevation of Mary, Mary gets a position above Christ, right, even above Christ, and she becomes not just co-redemptrix, but our Redeemer. Listen, it says, I'll just finish this prayer. "Nor even from Jesus, my judge himself, because by one prayer from thee, he will be appeased. But one thing I fear, that in the hour of temptation, I may neglect to call on thee and thus perish miserably. Obtain for me then the pardon of my sins." No, Christ is our Savior. He obtained our pardon. And now we've put Mary in Christ's place, even above him.
We're going to go to the phones. We're going to Michael on line 3 from Barstow, California. Michael, thanks for hanging in there with us. And what's your question?
Yes, I have a quick question on the perpetual virginity issue and a quick comment on something that Dave said.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures say that Christ shall reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. Now, does this mean that after his enemies are put under his feet, he will cease to reign? And my comment is, when I hear these kinds of things spoken against the doctrine of Mary being the mother of God, or the God-bearer, is what Theotokos literally means. It almost seems that there's a conception on the Protestant side of the issue that a mother generates the offspring, but it's actually fathers that generate the offspring. The mother simply bear the offspring. And so calling Mary the mother of God takes nothing away from the Son of God whatsoever. It simply acknowledges the fact that the one who was born in her womb is the God-man from the moment of his incarnation.
Well,
and just quickly, I would like to add, it was scholars like Dave Hunt and Lorraine Bettner and people like that that helped me into the Catholic Church with their shoddy and slanderous scholarship.
Well, you know, let's not get to calling names here, Michael. We'll take your question, and if you'll hang up, we'll address it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I could say that many people, far more, have been delivered from the errors of the Catholic Church through reading A Woman Rides the Beast and the video. And if you want to talk about shoddy scholarship, I have compliments from real scholars, seminary professors, and so forth. I've was told that that book, A Woman Rides the Beast, the Catholic apologists were going to rip it apart and show all of the shoddy scholarship, as you say. I'm still waiting for them to do that. And we do offer my debates with Carl Keating, for example, a Catholic apologist.
Right,
I don't
Dr.
think
Robert
they
Fustigi,
offer. I don't think they offer them. We offer them.
Mm-hmm. So on.
But let's not use those kind of arguments now.
Dave, again, moving along with these basic teachings of the Catholic Church about Mary, we come to the Assumption of Mary. This is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is paragraph 966. Finally, the Immaculate Virgin, preserved free from all stain of original sin, when the course of her earthly life was finished, was taken up body and soul into heavenly glory and exalted by the Lord as queen over all things.
This is the 1950 dogma proclaimed by Pope Pius XII.
Right. Pope Pius XII, we can go on with that. We pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother God of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. Now, Dave, again, we're hearing our last caller, or questioner, he talks about how important it is that she is the Mother of God. But we can see from these doctrines, these teachings, that it's far beyond just the bearer of Christ's body in their view, and certainly in the view of those who believe this.
In Revelation chapter 12, we have a woman, and we'll get into that in the next hour when we talk about the apparitions, because Mary often appears in this manner. But there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And the Catholics claim, well, this is Mary. We have a problem there because, verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. But the scripture very clearly says that pain of childbirth came upon Eve and all other women because of sin. Now, if this is the sinless Mary, and yet she is paining in childbirth, but she remained a virgin, the birth canal wasn't even disturbed in the birth of this child, it doesn't seem that she could be this woman.
Yeah. Dave, there's another aspect of this. Again, quoting from the Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, Ludwig Ott says, direct and express scriptural proofs are not to be had with regard to the teaching of the Assumption of Mary. There's no support for it. But if you have to believe that, because again, if Mary, if we go back to the Immaculate Conception, she's conceived without sin, well, then she wouldn't die.
That's right. Wages of sin is death.
So she has to be assumed
right.
into heaven. So
right.
they're forced to that, whether they like
right.
it or not.
Right. But it simply isn't biblical. Tom, we have to have an authority. We can't go by the pronouncement of a pope or by the tradition of the church or by what people wish or want to believe. I have to have the authority of God himself. This is the word of God, and I'm going to go by that.
Right. We want to go to our phone lines. We've got Pam from Red Bluff on Red Bluff, California, on line one. Pam, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Just as you were talking, there were a few passages that came to mind, mm-hmm. and one was, I, the Lord thy God, am one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then there's one that says, bend your knee to no one, to no man. And then there's, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So isn't it true that Jesus had to be born of blood in order to be the perfect sacrifice for mankind? And I'm going to hang up so I can hear you.
Thank you, Pam.
Well, he had to become a man in order to take our place, to die for the human race. And the verse you quote, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Mary's blood was not shed, no matter what agony she as a mother went through when Christ hung upon the cross. She did not pay any part of our redemption.
First of all, Mary is the mother of God. Mary was conceived without sin. Mary lived a sinless life. Mary was a virgin before, through, and after the conception and birth of Jesus, and throughout her life, Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. But it doesn't end there. Mary is the co-mediatrix, that is, she is the mediator or mediatrix of graces. I'm going to read from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 969. Taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside the saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Church under the titles of Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, and Mediatrix. Paragraph 965. After her son's ascension, Mary aided the beginnings of the Church by her prayers. And one last one. This is from Pope Leo XIII. From that great treasure of all graces which the Lord has brought, nothing, according to the will of God, comes to us except through Mary. So that as nobody can approach the Supreme Father except through the Son, similarly, nobody can approach Christ except through the Mother.
Well, Tom, let me just give you a couple others from memory. Both the Catechism and Vatican II refer to her as the Mother of God, and it says, to whose protection the faithful fly in right. all their dangers and needs. Now, if the faithful, millions of Catholics, a billion, can fly to Mary for all their divine, for all their needs and for protection. If she can protect a billion Catholics, and if she can provide all the needs of a billion Catholics, then she is God. And furthermore, why would I fly to Mary and ask her for anything when God is my provision? He is my protector. He is my life. He is my shield. Christ is my all. So what has happened is that Mary has gained a position that has taken away from Christ and from God.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, this is the official teaching of the Church, and I just covered some of the doctrines, as it were. But there are many other ideas out there about Mary. And many of them come through, and some of these began with or through apparitions of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go to our guest for the second hour, Jim Tetlow. He's the producer of the video Messages from Heaven. Jim, are you with us?
Good morning.
It is good morning. He's back in New York.
Hi, Dave.
Hi,
you're still awake. That's great. Jim, I want to ask you. This was a large undertaking in production value and every which way, an excellent, excellent production. Jim, why did you decide to address this subject in video?
Well, I was born and raised Catholic. For 29 years, I went to the Catholic Church, and I had some beliefs that when I read the Bible, I found they were not true. And one of the areas of doctrinal dispute came from Mary, came from some of the beliefs about Mary. And as I was praying over the years about whether to do a video, this is one area that was just drawing millions and millions of people, and yet there wasn't too much out there to show that these apparitions contradict the Scripture. And so Dave has done a wonderful job with many of the doctrines in the Catholic Church, including Mary. And there's many books that look at some of the Catholic doctrines, but I had not seen too much out there. And when I started researching this and saw the tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people going to apparition sites and seeing various phenomena, I thought, I better start praying about this. And this has been the longest of the three projects videos because the research has been intense and the attacks have been intense. So we also have a book that's a companion book to the video that Loyal Publishing, Dave's new publisher, is going to publish, and it should be out in a few months. And a lot of Catholics who've seen the video, they can't refute it, and so they get angry at me and they say, I don't believe you. And so I have to email them all the Catholic footnotes, and then I pray that they'll call me back. They usually don't. But that's kind of that in a nutshell.
Jim, could you give us some idea? Again, apparitions. This isn't just some local thing for you there in New York. This is worldwide, and it really transcends numerous religions are heavily involved in Mary.
Well, let me give you some statistics, okay? Mm-hmm. In Bosnia, Medjugorje, since 1981, where the six visionaries received regular apparitions of the Virgin Mary, they have received 30 million pilgrims over the last 20 years, and many of them are not Catholics. And if you know how war-torn Medjugorje is, you got to realize these people have to go hours over over war-torn roads to get there through bus, and, of course, have to fly there. It's not cheap. These aren't sightseers. They're there because they're Marian disciples, and they've heard amazing claims. In Guadalupe, 15 to 20 million Marian followers visit the shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe every year, and on the anniversary, December 12th, they receive about 5 million pilgrims. So that's just two of them. In Conyers, Georgia, right here in the U.S., Nancy Fowler has received up to 100,000 visitors on her farm in a single day. There's apparitions being reported in every state and probably every habitable country that I've seen. I mean, there's reports in Iraq, Egypt, Japan, Australia. You name the country, we do some research, we'll probably find reports of apparitions.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I want to throw in a quote from the Los Angeles Times. A growing number of Americans from all Christian denominations are reaching out to the Virgin Mary as a comforting conduit of spirituality and a symbol of peace in troubled times. Mm-hmm. It's not just Catholics who are interested in Mary and following the apparitions. And certainly your documentary bears that out.
Jim, I have visited quite a few of these sites in North and South America, in Europe. I've been to the Pope's favorite shrine at Jasna Góra, the Black Virgin, in Poland. I've been to Fatima, to Lourdes, to others. There are nearly 1,000 shrines in France.
Yes.
I have visited many of these shrines around the world. I've only been able to locate 2 shrines to Jesus. And that, again, tells us what we've been talking about. Mary has been elevated, prayers to Mary more than to Jesus, shrines to Mary. And, Jim, it has broken. I can tell you, it breaks your heart.
Yes.
If you go to these places and you see, I have to say, it's always women, elderly women, never men, on bloody knees walking. I've seen them walking around the shrines of saints and so forth to gain salvation. It's a tragedy, but as you said, millions and millions are being attracted to these shrines. I've seen them making lengthy pilgrimages in South America.
Yeah, let me go to our phone. We have a question here. We have Liz in Bozeman, Montana on line 2. Liz, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I moved from Georgia, so I know about the Nancy Fowler location and the many, many people that visit there. And my question was, with all the false doctrine that the Catholics have kind of put together, they're not really studying the Bible. They're studying man-made doctrine, and their works, I should say, with the beads and, you know, praying to Mary and all these other things. I wanted to find out your opinion. Would they be considered Christians the day of the rapture when Jesus comes and takes his church home? Will the Catholics go with those of us who study the Bible? I consider myself a Christian and listen to CFN and Calvary and your show, and I like your show because you just tell it like it is and you speak fact right from the Bible. And I just wanted to know if you thought that the Catholics were going to be with the rest of us in the rapture, or will their idolatry, as I consider it, hold them back, and they'll be judged for that.
Liz,
I'm going to hang up today.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
Liz, Catholics don't even believe in the rapture, but whether you believe in it or not, what counts is our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if I'm trusting in Christ plus something, you know, Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said, if you believe another gospel than we've preached, you're lost. My salvation is in Christ. This is what the Scripture teaches, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day. We are saved through faith in Christ. Now, if you are trusting in Christ plus Mary, plus the representation of his sacrifice through the Mass,
plus the sacraments,
plus prayers to the saints and so forth. Let me just quote you Vatican II. Page 1 says, it is through the sacred liturgy, especially in the sacrifice of the Eucharist, that the work of our redemption is accomplished. No, the work of our redemption was accomplished by Christ upon the cross. It is not being accomplished through the sacraments of the Catholic Church. So Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. You either believe the gospel, this is not my words, these are the words of Scripture. If we believe the gospel, for example, I have a scapular in my hand right now. The scapular says, on one end of it, whosoever dies wearing this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire. Now, I ask you a simple question. Does someone who wears a scapular, and the Pope has worn it since childhood, millions of Catholics wear this, someone who wears a scapular, trusting that through wearing it, they will be delivered from hell, have they believed the gospel? No, they haven't. You don't need to wear a scapular if you believe that Christ paid the penalty for your sins. So all I'm saying is, from the Bible itself, a person who believes something plus the gospel has not believed the gospel. They're not trusting in Christ alone if they're trusting in Christ plus Mary plus the saints plus their works. And that is the tragedy. And Liz, this is why we're involved in this. It's not because we're narrow-minded, dogmatic fundamentalists. We want to argue with people and we're trying to get some to join our church. We're concerned for the eternal destiny of souls, and I know that's what you asked this question about. We either have trusted Christ entirely, and we are trusting in him alone and in his redemptive work upon the cross, or we are not. And if we're not, we will be left behind at the rapture, and we're lost.
Yeah, Dave, again, that's our only hope.
Jim. Dave, you mentioned it breaks your heart, and I was talking to a friend of mine who goes to Bible college in Austria, and he went to the Catholic Church there, and they had a shrine to Mary and a shrine to Jesus, and he spent an hour or two in the balcony just praying, and it wasn't during Mass, and a number of people came in, and you could light a candle to either Mary or Jesus, and he said in the time of about an hour and a half, about 50 people came in, and he said, guess how many lit a candle to Jesus? And I said, well, sadly, I think zero. And he said, you're right, 50 people lit a candle Mary. Not that the candle does anything, but it shows you, it breaks your heart that they've been duped into thinking that Mary can appease God and hold back the wrath of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Jim, in you talking about apparitions worldwide, certainly a topic on everybody's mind these days, post-September 11th, is Islam. Islam has a special relationship with Mary, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. Mary is mentioned in the Quran. She has the 19th surah named after her. There's a number of verses after her. And if you give me a second, I'll actually find the quotes. Here it is in Surah chapter 23, verse 49. It says, and to Mary, the woman who kept her chastity, we, Allah, breathed into her our spirit and made her and her son a sign to all mankind.
Let me just mention that I think it was in 1952 that Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote a book, and he had a chapter in there saying that the Muslims would be converted, not by the ordinary means, but through Our Lady of Fatima. And wasn't it amazing that when the Muslims were in control of Spain, Portugal, and even up in parts of France, that they named this little village Fatima after Muhammad's favorite daughter. And of her, Muhammad said, "Thou art the fairest of all in heaven, after Our Lady, the Virgin." And when you take a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, who the Pope appeared to the Pope, you remember, in his convalescence and told him she had saved his life. And, you know, he's made several pilgrimages to Our Lady of Fatima, placed a bullet that was taken out of his body from the would-be assassin's gun and so forth in a necklace around her neck and so forth. He says, isn't it amazing that they named this village after Fatima and that Our Lady appeared there? And she has a tremendous appeal to Muslims. Mm-hmm. And he predicted that Muslims would be converted through Our Lady of Fatima.
Again, Dave, devotions to Mary, the official position of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm quoting from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 971. The Church rightly honors the Blessed Virgin with special devotion. From the most ancient times, you quoted this earlier, but I'll go over it again. From the most ancient times, the Blessed Virgin has been honored with the title of Mother of God. There we go. Back to the basic. To whose protection the faithful fly in all their dangers and needs. The liturgical feasts dedicated to the Mother of God and Marian prayer, such as the Rosary, an epitome of the whole gospel, expresses this devotion to the Virgin Mary. One more. This is from the Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma by Ludwig Ott, which I mentioned before. In view of her dignity as Mother of God, again, and her fullness of grace, a special veneration is due to Mary. This is substantially less than the adoration or latria, which is due to God alone, but is higher than the veneration, that is dulia, due unto the angels and to the other saints. The special veneration thus given to Mary is called hyperdulia. Now, Dave, I just have to say one thing. Growing up Roman Catholic, and Jim, I'm sure you'll agree with this, I never had a teaching, I never had a correction with regard to how far I was to go with Mary. It was the more devotion. I remember in Catholic school, I was prefect of sodality. You did as much as you could, and that was never enough with regard to Mary. And the more you did, the more you were encouraged by the nuns or the priests.
That's true. Tom, before we go on to that, can I mention a little bit more about Islam?
Sure.
I know we're jumping back. But it's so important to understand why when the apparition appears in Muslim countries, such as Egypt, they hit their prayer rugs. And she's mentioned 34 times in the Quran. The Quran calls her a pure and exalted and above all womankind. Jesus is always referred to as Son of Mary. Of course, they deny that he's the Son of God. And the Quran says his mother was a saintly woman. The Quran says, he has exhorted me to honor my mother and has purged me of vanity and wickedness. And these apparitions are extremely ecumenical. What I mean by that is when she appears in a mixed crowd, she puts down some of her Catholic distinctives and says, I've come for all people to bring peace and unity. And I think it's interesting that when she does appear, that's kind of what happens. And I want to give you one quote from Malachi Martin in the Keys of This Blood. This is a quote. He talks about, in reckoning the future of Islam, this is a quote, Pope Paul takes into account that as a genuinely religious faith, it preserves certain fundamental truths that the Holy Spirit reveals to all people of goodwill, and that in God's providence, Islam can be a threshold from which its adherents can be prepared to accept the only historical revelation made by God in this world. Here's the quote that's important. There will come a day, John Paul believes, when the heart of Islam, already attuned to the figures of Christ and Christ's mother Mary, will receive the illumination it needs. In the meantime, the pontiff knows that Islam will stand against him and his church and his geopolitical vision. Now, with that said, there's many quotes from Mary that says, very soon, my children, I will draw the Mohammedans into my fold and the separated brethren. So there is this, the apparitions will put down some some things that are in the catechism in order to draw all people under the Catholic Church. I don't know if you want to go down that alley, but I thought it was important to say because the apparitions are not just in Catholic nations.
Of course not. You mentioned Medjugorje before. Here's a quote from the apparition in Medjugorje. "Tell this priest, tell everyone, that it is you who are divided on earth. The Muslims and the Orthodox, for the same reason as Catholics, are equal before my son and I. You are all my children."
Exactly. Exactly. And there's many quotes like that. And what's interesting is the apparitions, the activity has picked up substantially since about, believe it or not, the regathering of the Jews in 1948, but specifically since Medjugorje, there's just been a mushrooming of Marian groups and Marian apparitions around the world. And some of the footage in the video shows the millions. But I think that's just the tip of the iceberg as you start to go through some of these statistics. One group alone, the Blue Army, has 20 million members, okay? The Marian movement of priests is supported by at least 400 cardinals and bishops and more than 100,000 priests and millions of religious faithful. And I looked up how many priests there were in the world. According to latest statistics, there's about 404,000 priests. That means over one quarter of the priests in the world are members, not just to the Catholic Mary, but to an apparition of Mary that's giving messages to the head of the group, Father Stefano Gobbi. And if you think the Mary of Catholicism is unbiblical, you have to read some of these messages. And yet there's 100,000 priests that are members. This is not a niche. A lot of Catholics tell me, well, the Catholic Church doesn't embrace the apparitions. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. They don't know that on October 2000, Pope John Paul, with 1,500 bishops, that's the largest group to assemble since Vatican II, entrusted humanity and the third millennium to Our Lady of Fatima, not to the Mary of Catholicism, to an apparition. Now, that 1,500 bishops, that represents over one-third of the world's bishops, entrusted the world to an apparition who says, "I am the Immaculate Conception," who says, "I will triumph in the end," and it's her peace plan, and she's got the shrine to her, and 5 million people come to Fatima. And like Dave says, on bloody knees. Now, does she ever discourage this? The humble Mary would not have people bow down and worship her. And it just breaks your heart because Mary's last recorded words were, "Whatever he says to you, do it," in John 2:5. If you love the Mary of the Bible, read the Bible, see what Jesus says, and you will not follow the Mary of the apparitions or the Mary of Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I'm just looking at some other statistics here. In 1992, the Fatima Crusader reported that more than 500,000 followers of Islam turned out to honor a statue of the Fatima Mary in Bombay, India.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember being at Fatima and approaching a Catholic priest who was there who happened to speak English. He had made many pilgrimages there. By the way, speaking of pilgrimage, let me just quote what Fulton Sheen said. He said, "When I was ordained," now he's the closest to a televangelist the Catholic Church ever had. His videos, he's dead, but his videos are still selling very well. He said, "When I was ordained, I took a resolution to offer the holy sacrifice of the Eucharist every Saturday to the Blessed Mother. All this makes me very certain that when I go before the judgment seat of Christ, he will say to me in his mercy, 'I heard my mother speak of you.' During my life, I've made about 30 pilgrimages to the shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes and about 10 to her shrine in Fatima." It's pitiful that he thinks that Mary will put in a good word for him because he's been devoted to her. But I approached this Catholic priest, and I said, "You know, I've got a problem. The apparition said a number of things that just really troubled me, and one of them was, many souls perish and go to hell because there is no one to make sacrifice for them. And I thought Jesus made the sacrifice upon the cross." And we had quite a discussion about that. I can tell you basically what he said is, Well, you understand that a ship brings the cargo to port, but someone has to distribute the cargo. And Jesus isn't so much the Savior that you thought he was. Those are his exact words. I thought lightning would come from heaven. Our Lady of Fatima also said, I will assist you at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for salvation. I don't need any assistance from Mary for salvation. Christ has accomplished my salvation, and my salvation is because I have taken him at his word. I've trusted myself to him. Now, furthermore, not only Mary appears, but a little baby Jesus. And you know, Jim, at Fatima, Our Lady was accompanied by a little baby Jesus floating on a cloud of light. And listen to what he said. He said, there will be no peace in this world until this world has been dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary in reparation for the sins committed against her. Now, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend Catholics out there, but Jesus is not a baby floating around on the astral plane and appearing to people. He is a mature man in a resurrected, glorified body with nail prints in his hands and feet. He's at the Father's right hand. He is the Lord of life and glory. He is not a baby anymore appearing. And furthermore, what he says is not biblical, and I'm sorry, what Our Lady of Fatima and the other apparitions say is not what Mary would say. I can only conclude these are demonic apparitions who are appearing to deceive people. And when, as you said, the apparitions, most of them, this Mary, and she can be a black person here, she can be a South American Indian at Guadalupe and so forth, that's an amazing Mary. But these apparitions, most of them, come offering Mary's peace plan for the earth. The Bible says that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. But Mary comes saying, how long can I hold back my son's hand from the judgment he would pour out upon this earth? Now, if you follow me, I have a peace plan for this world. Again, it takes away from Jesus Christ, and it puts this on a false Mary who is not the Mary of the Bible.
The name of the program is Search the Scriptures Daily, and what we're trying to do here is compare what we're hearing, what we're seeing with regard to apparitions. We're comparing what these apparitions are saying with what the Bible says. We've also compared what the Roman Catholic Church teaches with regard to the dogmas, the doctrines of Mary with what the Bible says. Now, let me give you just a quick rundown of just some things that you could contrast. The Marian apparitions present a status for Mary which is really without support or precedent in the Scriptures. The Apostle Peter, for example, a contemporary of Mary, regarded by Catholics as the first pope, wrote nothing about her. The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, gave more specific instruction in living the Christian life than any other writer in the Bible, yet made no mention of the alleged importance of devotions or reparations to Mary. In contrast, the apparitional Mary, who claims to have been conceived without sin, Paul called himself the chief of sinners, yet God used him, the most productive figure of the New Testament after Christ. The Apostle John, who wrote the last book of the Bible and was given to the care of Mary by Jesus himself, says nothing about venerating her.
Doesn't even mention her.
Tom, could I interject something?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We went through, I think, a dozen different unique qualities of Christ in the video. We went through about 20 in the book that the apparition ascribes to herself: Savior, suffering servant, atonement, mediator, intercessor, advocate, redeemer, or co-redemptrix, I should say, omnipresent, omnipotent, and you go on. And obviously, the humble Virgin Mary is not omnipotent. She's not omnipresent. Let me quote from the apparition of Mary. This is an apparition that is pushing to become declared co-redemptrix. And Dave can tell you that it was an apparition that, in part, encouraged the Pope to declare her without sin, the Immaculate Conception.
St. Catherine Laboure, absolutely right.
Right. So here's the quote. This is from the Lady of All Nations, and it says, I stand here as the co-redemptrix and advocate. Everything should be concentrated on that. Repeat this after me. The new dogma will be the dogma of the co-redemptrix. Notice I lay special emphasis on co. I have said it will arouse much controversy. Once again, I tell you that the Church, Rome, will carry it through and silence all objections. So this is a prediction. I could give you a lot more quotes, but for time's sake, I'll give you one more. And this is actually in the 14th century. This is a fully church-approved apparition, Mary to St. Bridget. Quoted.
Jim, you didn't tell us where that apparition was and when.
Oh, that's in Amsterdam.
Okay. The previous one that you were quoting, right.
The Lady of All Nations is in Amsterdam.
Right. All right.
I've got all the notes.
What was the date?
That was in 1954.
Okay.
But there are prophecies that they believe point to this pope as declaring it. Mm-hmm. And they said there's this long-winded prophecy talking about one pope will die and another pope will be moved out of the way, and then the next pope may declare it. So they believe that this pope, Pope John Paul II, will declare it. One of her prophecies says it'll be declared on May 31st, which is the queenship of Mary. So I don't know if the Lord will allow this to happen. But it is interesting in the past that apparitions have encouraged popes, little by little, to give her more godlike characteristics and attributes. Now, this is in the book Call of the Ages. Most Catholics who are followers of Mary have read this book. It's very popular. Dr. Thomas Petrisco. And this message is from Mary to St. Bridget, 14th century, and this has got full church approval. It says, I boldly assert that his suffering became my suffering because his heart was mine. And just as Adam and Eve sold the world for an apple, so in a certain sense, my son and I redeem the world with one heart. And there's many other quotes that I could quote, but these are obviously not the Mary of the Bible, and it just breaks my heart. I just ask the Catholics, why won't you read the Bible? I tell the ladies, I said, if your husband on his deathbed took a bullet for you, let's say he died, and he said, you know, I wrote a journal. All in my journal is about my love for you. Would please read it. I love you. And he died. Would you read it? And they say, of course I'd read it. Well, Jesus took the bullet for you. Jesus, he gave you his word. It's written in blood on the cross. And he's just saying, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And Satan will put in all these distractions, deceptions, obstacles to keep her eyes off the focus. And this is just one of many. But it really grieves me because there's signs and wonders. There's a lot of goosebumps. But it's unbiblical and it's leading people to damnation.
You know, again, Jim, apparitions, many, many doctrines of the church came through. As you were talking about, we mentioned Catherine Laborie as a young Roman Catholic.
1830 in Paris.
I wore a miraculous medal.
Well, Tom, I have to jump in one more time.
Go ahead.
I'm anticipating objections because I've heard so many. A lot of Catholics will say, well, just look at the church approvals, which we have in the book and in video. But the apparition is presenting a united front. Let me quote some messages. This is from the Mother of the Eucharist in Rome, Italy. She says, all the message come from God, and everywhere that I am appearing, I am speaking about the same things. Okay? This comes from Our Lady of Ecuador to Patricia Talbot. She says, at the end of all the apparitions in the world, I will leave a great sign in this place and in all those where I have been. And there's many, many like this in Buenos Aires. Our Lady said, with messages I have given and apparitions I have granted in many parts of the world, with my numerous weepings, even with blood, I want to make you understand that this is a grave hour. One more message. In Zambita, Udine, the Blessed Mother said, yes, in these times I am appearing in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, in America, in distant Oceania. The whole world is wrapped in my mantle. Now, you would think if the Church approved apparitions were really Mary, she'd say, hey, there's a lot of these apparitions are deceptions. Now, some of the apparitions will say, wherever I appear, Satan will appear. But she has never pointed to a particular apparition and declared it an imposter. So she presents a united front. The Catholic saints that have predicted her coming said that she would manifest and reign in the end time. The messages have a consistent theme about peace and unity and an all-encompassing drawing into the Catholic Church. All the apparitions predict Mary's triumph in an era of peace and unity. So there is just a united front across the board. And again, if one of these apparitions was really Mary, if God had sent Mary, first of all, she's not omnipresent, so she can't be in all these thousands of apparitions. But let's say one was Mary, she'd say all the rest are deceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't say that.
Jim, just to lay this out for people if they haven't gotten the message up till now, apparitions affect the church. It affects the teachings and the dogmas of the church. You probably wore a scapula. Dave mentioned it before. This came, an apparition came to St. Simon Stock afterwards.
And to Pope John the 22nd.
Right. To reinforce this idea, we just mentioned St. Catherine Laborée. This was 1830. 1854.
The miraculous medal.
Right.
Worn by millions of Catholics.
Miraculous
today.
Medal. I'd like to, I'm reading from the Catholic Encyclopedia. I just want to tell you what it looks like. There may be listeners out there who have never seen one. I'm sure lots of them. But on the front side of the medal, now again, this medal was struck under the direction, under the instructions of this apparition. She said what was to be on it. Mm-hmm. Here's what was on it. On the front side of the medal may be seen the Blessed Mother standing on the globe of the earth and crushing the head of the evil serpent Satan, supposedly a reference to Genesis 3:15.
Can I say what Genesis 3:15 says? Mm-hmm. God said, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. But there, here we have the woman crushing the serpent's head. She is the redemptrix, actually.
Right. From her extended hands, rays of light stream forth upon the world, symbolizing graces which the good mother procures from her divine son for her children. Around the edge of this side of the medal are inscribed the words, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. On the reverse side of the medal, the M of Mary is surmounted by the cross of Christ beneath which she stood and joined her sacrifice to the perfect sacrifice of her son. Now, this is a Catholic Encyclopedia, but we have an apparition giving something that I wore as a young Roman Catholic, mm-hmm. scapula I wore as a young Roman Catholic, and these now are dogmas of the church. So all the things that you're mentioning, Jim, some might say, well, it's too far out there. It's too bizarre. The church will never agree to that.
No, and let me give you an interview with one of the Medjugorje visionaries who's been receiving messages for 20 years. One of the priests interviewed Ivanka, and she said the Madonna said that religions are separated in the earth, but the people of all religions are accepted by her son. And the priest says, does that mean that all people go to heaven? And she says, it depends on what they deserve. And the priest says, yes, but many have not heard about Jesus. And she says, Jesus knows all about that. I don't. The Madonna said basically religions are similar, but many people have separated themselves because of religion and become enemies of each other. And that's quoted in Wayne Weibel's book, Medjugorje, the Message. Now, some Catholics will say, well, Medjugorje hasn't received official approval. However, they have received endorsements from at least 24 cardinals, 24 archbishops, 61 bishops, and the Pope himself, who has said, if I was not a Pope, I'd be in Medjugorje already. So obviously she's not presenting the gospel that Jesus said, that I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. But it's this ecumenical, all roads lead to heaven, and I'll be your advocate. And of course, this is probably the most influential apparition in the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones right now. We're going to go to Mark in Virginia on line 4. Mark, are you still there?
Yes, still here.
All right. Thank you for calling, Mark.
Hi. Thank you for doing this show. You've answered some questions for me already. I have one more. What is this concept of praying the rosary, and is it related to this Marianism or worship of Mary?
Well, the rosary, again, which Jim prayed and I prayed as young Catholics and, you know, even into my 30s, first of all, is a device that's totally directed to Mary. There are 153 Hail Marys plus one Hail Holy Queen to 16 Our Fathers. Now, that's, you can see what the emphasis, where the direction of praying like that. Dave?
Here's how the rosary ends, the final petition. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy. Well, I would have to say mercy, you know, again, it's like Mother of God. Mercy was around a long time before Mary was here. How could she be the Mother of Mercy? Our life, our sweetness and our hope. No, Christ is my life. He is my hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But here, this is how the rosary ends. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Now, she really is the center of their affection and of their prayers, the one to whom they look for everything, including salvation. They're looking to Mary for what Christ has obtained for us.
And, you know, I would say the rosary is so fast. I mean, you talk about vain repetitions. I didn't know what I was saying, but I was getting through that. I was doing my rounds. You know, when we were talking about the miraculous medal, I just want to go back to one thing. And my encouragement here is, you see, as a Roman Catholic, they didn't teach me to question things. It was whatever the church said, whether it be through the nuns or the priests, it was whatever the church said. It was the teaching authority of the church. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't look for, if I raised my hand in religion class, I'd get in trouble if I had a question that somehow moved us off of what the priest was teaching. And that's really sad. But the example I'm trying to give is, on the miraculous medal, the whole edge of it is surrounded by 12 stars on the edge of the medal. And the idea here is that it's St. John's, according to the Catholic Church,
right?
St. John's vision of the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, you have a problem here. There's a contradiction. First of all, I'm thinking about Revelation 12:2, where it says that the woman will have pain through childbirth.
She's travailing in pain. We went over that earlier.
So how can this be Mary, and the apparition gives us, you
the
know,
apparitions
this image.
Claim this.
Right.
And yet,
how can she be conceived without sin? It's a contradiction right there in the medal itself.
Yeah. Okay. As Jim has said, and you've said it as well, it just grieves us. We're not trying to get someone to join our organization, our church. We don't have that. We want them to know Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We want them to come to Christ and trust in him alone. And you don't come to Christ through Mary. Never, ever did Jesus say that. There are no prayers to Mary on this earth, no prayers in the Bible. And let's look at just two scriptures, Luke 8, 20, 21. In Luke 11, 27 and 28, it was told him, this is Luke 8, 20, 21, it was told Jesus, quote, this is what the people are saying, there's a big crowd around him, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. They couldn't get to him. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. We honor Mary as the mother of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is God and man in one. But Jesus honored those who would believe his word. He put them on the same level as his mother. Luke 11, 27, 28. It came to pass that a certain woman said unto him, that is to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. This is what we're trying to do, Tom. We're trying to get Catholics or anyone out there, hear the word of God. Get back to the Bible. You've got popes making pronouncements, dogmas about Immaculate Conception and bodily assumption. We've got apparitions of Mary appearing and stating things that are contrary to the word of God and that detract from the work that Christ has accomplished upon the cross. And Jesus himself said, my brethren, my mother and my brethren are those that hear the word of God and do it. Yea, rather, blessed are they. Blessed is your mother. Yea, rather, Jesus says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And that is just the appeal we would make. Do you have a Bible? You want to read the Gospel of John? Read the book of Romans? See what Jesus himself said. Let's heed the word of God rather than what the apparitions or the popes or the Catholic dogmas say.
We've got about 5 minutes left. I want to go to the phones. David in Chicago. David, welcome to the program.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Fine.
Great program you have here. My question for you tonight is, the Catholics believe that God is eternal, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that Mary is the mother of God. So then, who would have been the mother and or father of Mary in the Catholic theology?
Well, go ahead, Tom.
Well, basically, that's an issue. You know, these doctrines, these dogmas, they didn't come about all at once.
And you didn't get them from the Bible.
No, they searched back for the church fathers to see what one church father thought about it. And if they could get, in many cases, if they could get a number of church fathers to agree, and not all of them did, then the teaching was brought forth. That's why a big problem with this, Tim, is that, I'm sorry, David, is that, we've got a teaching that you can't go to one authority. Tradition is in there. Tradition, and, how can
But he wanted to know, who is Mary's mother and father?
Well, I'm sorry, Dave.
St. Anne, they would say.
Well, St. Anne, but right. my point with that is that...
We don't get that from the Bible.
They won't tell you. In other words, was it her conception that was really immaculate? Was it sometime later? The church fathers are in disagreement about it. So who her mother and father were is really irrelevant because it's the time of her conception and who agreed to it in terms of having some authority.
But what do they have? Does St. Anne then have a... mother or father in their theology.
Right. See, I guess what you're getting at, David, is Mary is the mother of God, but Mary had a mother and father. Then they must be the grandparents of God,
right.
And then great-grandparents of God. But in fact, you see, when we say God, yes, we do say Jesus is God. He is God and man in one. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But when we say God, I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Catholic Church would say that. But the Catholic Church would surely not say that Mary is the mother of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I call it a semantic problem, but we've been trying to point out it's not just a semantic problem. It leads to some grave error, and this is what... Tom has been trying to point out.
Yeah.
Do you have another caller there? We better move on.
Yeah, well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Jim, you got a comment? Close this out? Or?
Well, I was just thinking about the exclusive claims of Christ and how there's just no room from Genesis to Revelation for any other Savior, any other Redeemer. Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are those which testify of me."
But you will not come to me that you might have life. That's the problem. You will not come to me, but you're going to Mary.
And it says the volume of the book is written of him.
You've been listening to a special live edition of Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. We would like to thank Jim Long and the crew at KRTM Radio and everyone at CSN International for making tonight's broadcast possible. We would also like to thank our special guest, Jim Tetlow, all of tonight's participants, and every one of you for joining us for this special program. I'm Gary Carmichael, reminding you that if you want to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.